This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
So here we are again with the Sue Free Show, and people say, what is the Sue Free Show about? And it isn't about pests. It's not about termites. That's another show. That's another day. What we're talking about now is to empower you. Are you in need of passion, purpose, or connection? Boy, I know I am, every minute of every day. This show is about getting to know you. What are you passionate about? What is your purpose here on this earth? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What were you created for? When do you feel the most connected to another person? Do you know when that is? Who are you? Boy, that's a deep one. It is not what you do for a living that determines who you are. Our actions say who we are. When you are vulnerable, authentic, transparent, and teachable, going through challenging experiences, we can all grow and learn from one another. This journey, called life, is a process where you will be able to receive and discover who you are. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? I know that it is a journey, and I know that we're all going down this journey together, but we're at different stages at different times, and we're called to pick each other up when we need to pick each other up and just be there as an encouragement. And this show is about encouraging you to maybe make a choice, make a difference, to do something different today than maybe you haven't done before. Sometimes we have to look through a different colored pair of glasses. We have to see things from a different view. Today, I have a very special guest. His name is Chaz Myers. Hi, Chaz.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going. Chaz is a 31-year-old combat firefighter turned pastor. Now, that's an interesting combo. He has an incredible passion for God's word, along with a love for God's people. Chaz lives in the Bay Area, where his infectious spirit of community permeates through everyone he meets. His heart is to rescue people, both physically and spiritually, and to create a revival with the presence of God like a wildfire by equipping the church members in truth and knowledge of God's kingdom and commandments. That's a mouthful. Doing work for Jesus is his top priority, and loving our neighbors is his number one obedience to God. Chaz is committed to God's calling on his life in proclaiming the gospel and turning lukewarm people into sold-out-for-God Christians. What a wonderful thing to be working towards. And that's something we have to do every day, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So let's expand on your bio, particularly the part about being a combat firefighter turned pastor.
Yeah, a few years ago, I was actually blessed to go over to Iraq, and I worked with the Department of Defense as an Army contractor, as a firefighter out there. And it was definitely one of the most trying and growing experiences of my life, but we were able to do amazing things for the gospel out there. For example, we were able to take one of Saddam Hussein's X-rated movie theaters and turn it into a church.
Really?
Yeah, it's just crazy like how God can move with just a little bit of faith. And it's amazing when you're around military personnel and people that are lost and hurting, away from their families, away from their homes, away from all their comforts, and they can't go anywhere, and how as we as Christians can actually go and pour into their lives and give them hope. And the one true thing that does give hope is Jesus. A little bit after that, I decided to go into the ministry field, and I recently just started working at a church up in Sunnyvale, called Trinity, which is in the Bay Area. And I love it when people ask me, like, hey, what did you used to do? Or, you know, how many jobs have you had? And, you know, I always say, hey, I used to be a firefighter. And they're like, oh, that's cool. You get to, like, run and save people from fires. And that's awesome. That's a very respectable job. And my response to that is, yes, that was a great job. But now, instead of saving people from physical fires, I get to preach the gospel and share Jesus with people in ways to where I help save them from an eternal fire. And it's a way that I can naturally bring up God and Jesus and even hell in a conversation where, for most people, that stuff doesn't come up in normal conversations. So it's definitely a true blessing where God has me right now.
That's true. And there's, you know, even churches don't like to talk about hell a lot of the time. So bringing that up, it's like when you go to a funeral and you talk, you know, people are in a different place when they go to a funeral because they're all thinking about their own life and what it's going to be like when, you know, it's their turn and people you leave behind. And it kind of, it's so surreal to be thinking about your end when you're living your life. And what you said about being in a place where people don't have their families and whatnot, they're in a vulnerable place, aren't they? They're in a vulnerable state.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that's a very good place for us to be. And those listening, you might be in a vulnerable place right now. And all I can say is sometimes God wants us there. And that, you know, it says in the Bible, God won't give us more than we can handle. But I know there's been so many times in my life personally where I said, God, you tell me you won't give me more than you can handle. But right now it sure feels like it's more than I can handle. So with that, we can make choices, or people might come into our lives, or we have to put ourselves in a position where we can be ministered to. And it sounds like that's what's happened with you, is you've put yourself in a place where you can be used, and we all need to be used for His glory. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on KKLA 99.5. If you have to get out of your car right now, it's okay. You can stay tuned because you don't want to miss this hour. So what you can do is you can walk in your house and you can turn on your computer and you can stream us now. And if you don't know what that means, all it means is you can go to kkla.com. And when it comes up, it says Listen Live. You click on Listen Live and then you'll have us on there. And after the fact, we have something called a podcast. And if you don't know what that is, it just means that it's a recording of this show. So if there's somebody that after you hear the show and you want someone else to hear it and you want to share this with someone else because there's something in there you feel that could touch them or someone, it could help somebody, then what you can do is you can go to SueFreeze.com, and that's Sue Freeze spelled like fries, one word, .com, and you can click on the date and the person. This would be Chaz Myers, and you can click and have that person listen to this episode. So all those things are available to you. You can also become a fan and click on there and get any new updates and whatnot. And that's just a little commercial, but it's just a way of sharing this word with people that might not be listening right here, right now. Hope you don't mind that, Chaz, but I just had to put that in there.
Amen, totally.
So your current ministry, what does that look like now?
Right now, I am pastor over young adults and the martial arts ministry at my church. And it's pretty crazy. We've actually teamed up with the Sunnyvale Police Department, and we do a boxing program where we actually have two boxing rings in on our church campus, two wrestling mats, four volleyball courts, two basketball courts. So we have this huge gym, and it's called Gateway. And what we use it for is to try and have that be a bridge to get people from the community to get connected to people within the church. And so we have over 200 kids from the community, and most of them are gang members or at-risk kids, kids who don't have their parents around to pick them up from school or to help them with homework or anything, and they come to our gym, and the police department and Golden Glove boxers and professional fighters actually teach them a discipline of boxing, and it's paired up with their school homework and what they're doing. And it's just being very intentional with pouring into these kids and having a mentor for these kids and disciplining these kids in ways that I feel is missing in our culture a lot. And we're being very purposeful in what we do. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, it talks about how when you run this race, like you need to run as if you want to win. And in verse 26, it says, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. And so, yes, those of you that are listening, boxing is in the Bible. And it's basically just saying, like, whatever you do, have purpose. And it associates with when if someone speaks with tongues, in tongues, and there's no one there to interpret, and it's not going anywhere, that those words are just going off into the air. And that's the same image that they're using here in Scripture with, you don't want to just walk down the street and start punching the air. People are going to think you're crazy. You're going to start getting sweaty, and you're going to get tired. And what's the use of that? There's no use to that. So whatever you do, make sure that you have purpose in what you're doing. Another thing that we're doing is a free fitness boot camp. One of the blessings that I was able to have was I was living down in Simi Valley for a while, and I was going to Eternity Bible College there. And I love the staff and the founders and everyone who helped started EBC because they wanted to provide a Bible education for people to where people would not go in debt. Because if these are your brothers and sisters in Christ who are trying to get a Bible education, then there's no way that you should put them in debt. They're your brothers and sisters, and all they want to do is learn more about the Bible. And so I take that principle and I use it into something that God has gifted me with. I think part of the challenge that a lot of us face is we try to do what other people are doing. We see what Francis Chan is doing. We see what Mark Driscoll is doing. We see what John Piper is doing. We're trying to do what they're doing. But we don't realize that God gave us specific gifts. And if martial arts is a gift that God has given me, then I need to use that for the kingdom. And God will totally be glorified through that. And so we do a free boot camp where we invite the community to come out to the local community center, and we train them for an hour and a half. And people are always asking, man, why do you do this? And our response is just, hey, we just want to love on you guys. Just how Father Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, it says he was blessed to be a blessing to others. We are so richly blessed with what God has given us. We just want to bless others with that. And so those are like the two main current ministries that I'm involved in. And let me tell you, it is exciting. Like, there's nothing else that I'd rather be doing right now.
Well, I can definitely hear it in your voice. You're very passionate about what you're doing. And there's so much to this, Chaz, that goes along with this show completely, because I talk about pursuit of passion, pursuit of purpose, and connection. And all of three of those words and pursuit is to not just be aimlessly, you know, just doing boxing in the air, as you said, but that you have to have a pursuit for something. And I tell people when they're listening and whatnot that I'm really involved in the spiritual gifts. And being an employer, what you want to do is you want to have your employees work in their gifts. Same with ministry. You want people to work in their gifts because God gave you those gifts. So you want to work within those. And the one that brings you the most joy is usually the one you're most passionate about, and usually the one that you need to work more on. You need to be more on that. You don't want to deal so much in the ones that you're not that good at. Mm-hmm. Let somebody else that's good at those do those.
Exactly.
And what you're saying is you don't want to emulate someone else. What you want to do is find a need that you're gifted in and fulfill that need, and that's where that passion just becomes so significant. And it's just such a joy in giving, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It just feels so good.
It doesn't even seem like work. It seems like you actually get rejuvenated by that. If you're doing something and you're getting continually burnt out, then something is wrong.
That's right. That's right. You know, the definition of success is doing something that you would do if you didn't get paid for it and get paid for it and enjoy it. I mean, that's success.
Exactly.
There's a quality to life for that. So what you just said, I mean, I like these golden nuggets. What you said was, you know, you need to find your gifts or what you like doing and find a need and fill it.
Absolutely.
And we've had people on here. I have some other ministries that I work with that I'm part of, and all of those do the same thing. A little personal story. My sister just called me the other day, and she says, Susie, I don't know what to do. I'm her bigger sister, and, you know, I'm a mother of two, and she's got two now, too. And the older one, Blakey boy, is being, you know, really ridiculed at school and being, like, bullied. And he's not a tall guy, but he's really smart, smart as a tack, but he's not real tall. He's very athletic. But she has him in baseball, and she has him some other sports. But I said, you know what? Maybe he needs a self-defense class. Maybe he needs something to build his confidence up. Not that he's going to go out and beat these guys up, because that's not what it's about. But it's about having this confidence level.
Absolutely.
To where you know that you could, if you had to, or if you needed to, you could. It would help, I think, Blake, and most kids out there. And the word discipline is so key here. Is because, you know, a lot of the kids, you know, the at-risk kids and the kids that are, you know, don't have a lot of discipline, they could use their, what they've learned in a negative way. And we don't want that either. So we want to, you know, hone that in and make it a positive thing. So that sounds like something you're doing with boxing. I never thought about boxing for him, but just self-defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Even Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, was talking about how the disciples asked him, hey, do we need swords? And he's like, yeah, get some swords. And he's like, we have two of them here. Is that enough? And he's like, yeah, that's more than enough. So it's not something where you totally need this huge, you know, militia and all these weapons. But there is definitely something implied there where Jesus was saying it's okay to defend yourself and to be smart about things that go about. And I highly recommend children and women to go through any type of self-defense class, because just like you said, it totally builds up the confidence.
And makes there's an awareness that happens, too, especially with women. You know, I have a daughter, and I, you know, sometimes I'm not sure she's totally aware of what's happening around her. And so, you know, it's important that we are aware of what's going on around us and not be so trusting, because you just don't know.
Absolutely.
You just don't know. I'm watching CSI more these days, and it just, you know, maybe I shouldn't be watching that.
Yeah.
So what go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, one of the big things I teach, because I teach self-defense classes as well, and the first class is usually always about situational awareness and making wise decisions.
Right.
And that translates into all aspects of life, because you may know how to take away a knife or a gun away from somebody, but if you actually don't ever get in a situation where you have to use that,
that's
all
better.
The better.
All the better is true. Same with business dealings, you know, money dealings and everything. You know, you have to think ahead, and you have to be aware of what you're doing and the consequences for our actions. You know, our choices. We have choices every minute of every day, every second of every day. And you know, the outcome or the consequence or the reward is based on the decisions we make. And I,
absolutely,
you know, I really feel strongly about that. What are some spiritual disciplines that have helped you get you to where you are now?
I want to read something out of the book of Matthew, if that's
please
that's
do.
Right.
Matthew keeps coming up. I'm listening to things on, you know, DVDs and CDs and whatever you call it. I'm listening, and Matthew just keeps coming. I have to read that whole book because there's just so much in that.
Absolutely, absolutely. In Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 43, going to verse 45, I'm going to read that out of the ESV. It says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation. And a lot of times when I've read that, I kind of just skim over it. I'm like, I don't really know what it's talking about. But lately, God's been revealing to me one of the principles that's in here that helps me with these spiritual disciplines. He's basically saying, hey, if there's a demon inside a person and he casts it out, that's great. But what happens is if you don't fill it up with anything good, that demon can come back, and it's going to bring seven more nastier, more evil demons, and you're going to be worse off than you were before. And so this is a huge lesson that I love sharing with people, is that it's good to abstain from sin, but you have to realize that you need to fill yourself up with God and what is good, because if you only abstain from the bad stuff, you're only doing half the battle. You have to fill yourself up with what is pure and holy and righteous. And so after realizing, like, this is one of the main themes in this passage, I'm like, oh, man, like, I totally need to do that. And so spending time in prayer or in the Word are spiritual disciplines that will truly have your faith skyrocket. Because a lot of times when we try and keep each other accountable, we're like, oh, hey, man, have you read the Word before, you know, or today? And he's like, yeah, man, I did. And that's usually the end of the accountability. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, how do you know? Like, you need to be more purposeful in your question when you keep each other accountable. Because if I say, hey, have you read the Word? That person could have been like, yeah, I had the Bible verse of the day emailed to me and I read it. That's not spending time in the Word. Like, you need to be more diligent. In Joshua 1:8, it talks about how the Word, the book of law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And so if you are trying to keep somebody accountable, you know, and staying in the Word, then ask them, hey, are you meditating on God's Word? And you can challenge them with stuff like, hey, it's easier to meditate if you actually memorize God's Word, because then it will marinate in your mind and you can let it percolate down within your soul. And so being more purposeful in any of these spiritual disciplines, where it's witnessing or fellowshipping or prayer or reading the Word, just being intentional with what you're doing and having true accountability has been something that has totally helped me in my spiritual growth.
That's very good, and I'm glad that you kind of explained that scripture, because we have a lot of new beginning Christians that, you know, and with that being said, I'm going to ask you this. Chaz, what is a day? Can you describe your day? You know, because you say meditate on the word, there's people that probably don't even understand what that means. So can you explain, like, what a day in the life of Chaz Myers is?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, meditating, I kind of use that word percolate. If you want a visual image, let's say you're out in your front yard of your house and you're watering the lawn and you're using a hose and you just water lawn for a minute each and every day. Well, in reality, that doesn't give the water enough time to actually go down deep within the roots, because when you water grass, you leave the sprinklers on for like 10 minutes at least to let it percolate and soak in. And so when you want to meditate and percolate on God's word, then that's not something that's a surfacey level thing of where you just read it and then you check off the box. It's no. You totally dive into the word. You come in, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1, it says, guard your steps, you know, as you approach the Lord's house. And so there's a certain fear of death, but also fear and reverence that you need to come before God and don't just rush into God's presence. And you need to let the Holy Spirit help translate and help teach you what you're doing. And when you continually read over Scripture, when you continually meditate on it, when you continually have it going back and forth in your mind, and some little things that I do is I like to read the passage in order, and then I'll read it backwards, you know, in reverse order of the verses, and then I'll read it in different translations. And then for me, like, I just started getting into the Greek and the Hebrew, but you don't have to do that. But for me, that's what I love to do, because it expounds on all of the information and the words that are being used there. And it's something to where you don't just let it percolate and stay there. You actually then live it out. Because what good is it if you actually study it and you get these phenomenal truths that God's revealing to you, but you don't actually live it out, or you don't actually share it with anybody else? And so it's something where, just like when you marinate chicken for barbecue this last Memorial Day, or, you know, the summer is approaching with the better weather, that it's something where you want to let it soak in deep within the meat that you're going to be barbecuing. And that's so true in our Christian walk. And the further you go, you're going to be weaned off the breast milk, and you're going to be diving into that meat that God has for you. And there's nothing else that satisfies you more than God's word, in my opinion.
So the day of Chaz Myers, you wake up in the morning at whatever time you wake up, and the first thing you do is?
Oh, I pray.
Okay, so you lay in bed and just, you lay there and pray.
Yes, I lay there and pray, because there's no way I can go straight into Scripture without praying.
Okay, so you pray, and I was taught a long time ago that you start every prayer with thanksgiving, right? That's where you start. You thank the Lord. In all things, give thanks.
Absolutely.
So you start your prayer life with thankfulness, because in my world, there's a lot of negativity. I don't know about yours.
Oh yeah.
But there is so much negativity that goes on, and the only way of changing negativity is to give thanks and to be thankful for the little things and the big things and everything in between. So with that being said, you know, he says in all things give thanks. That all is all, not a few things, but all things.
Exactly.
Right. So you start the day by giving thanks. You start your prayer with giving thanks. And then what?
And I would actually add with that, that when you look at the Great Commission or the Lord's Prayer, it always starts with all authority in heaven, or our Father who art in heaven. And it gives this premise of God's authority and his greatness. And I think part of that is supposed to humble you before you come into God's presence. And that helps you get in that place of being thankful, because, man, God, for some reason, you who are all-powerful, all-loving, like, you still choose to love me. And that totally humbles me.
Out of his grace, yes.
And so when we pray and then read, and then, like I said, continually read, go over it, study it. I love getting different commentaries on stuff.
Right.
And just let it percolate, and then I'll share that with some of the guys that I'm discipling, and I'll share it with the people that are mentoring me as well, and I'll ask him, hey, this is nugget of truth that, man, it's just been blowing my mind lately. Let me share it with you. What are your viewpoints? What are your thoughts?
That's really good.
I love dialoguing with people
about that. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Free Show.
So we're back with Chaz Myers and the Sue Free Show. And we are talking about, we were just talking before the break about meditating on God's Word and what Chaz does in the morning, which is to give thanks and not even to step out of bed. Don't step out of bed until you've laid there for a minute and you've given thanks and you've prayed a little bit before you go into the Word. So you're saying that after you do your prayer and get your mind and your heart and everything kind of in alignment with the awesomeness of God, then you go into reading Scripture?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you go into Scripture and you meditate. So how long does that take, do you think? I'm sure it's not the same every day because we have schedules.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on an average, how much time do you spend meditating on His Word before you start your day?
To be honest with you, it kind of depends on how much like I'm being rocked by that Scripture, because I could read a whole book from the Bible in the New Testament and be like, yeah, like that tastes so good. And then there's other days where I just can't get past one sentence, and I'm caught up on these two words that God is just revealing to me, and I'm just like, I just want more.
Right.
So
it just depends.
Yeah, it all just depends. And to be honest with you, there's some days where I don't wake up every morning doing that. But like I said, just like is, you know, when you water your grass, you know, if you do that every other day or every 3 days, but you let it soak in, I still believe that that is more meat and more spiritual food that will feed you throughout the rest of that week.
Right. So what is a concern of yours that you see plaguing Christians today?
Oh, man. Where is the love? Mm-hmm. I think if the greatest commandment that God gave to us is
faith,
love God,
hope, and love.
Exactly,
yeah.
And love others, then how come we're falling short of that? You can read books in the New Testament, and for those of you guys that want to memorize, if you ever get challenged to memorize a book, like Philemon is a great one because it's only one page, really, really short, and it's so filled with love. And one of my EBC professors, he gave me an illustration that has just stuck with me that I'd love to share with you guys.
Okay, please do.
It's how in our society, when we want to study something and we want to share something, we try and break it down to the lowest common denominator. And so if I were to say, hey, can you explain a frog to me? And you have a scientist there, and he'd be like, yeah, okay, well, here you go. We'll get the frog, and he'll slap it down on the lab table, and he'll slice the belly open and say, look, there's the heart, there's the lungs, here are the veins, you know, here's the skin. And he tries to explain to you by dissecting the frog and what it is, but there's no true essence in that. And so if I were to ask a little kid, you know, hey, like, can you go show me what a frog's like? And then he takes me down to the local pond, and he's like, and he finds one. He's like, hey, look, there it is. And all of a sudden you see that it jumps 20 times its body size, and you're like, whoa, it's crazy. Like, what if I could do that? And, you know, you see the tongue just shoots out and grabs a fly, and you're like, that's amazing. And you see, like, the life of this frog and the kid who's enjoying it. There's a stark contrast between how the scientist explains the frog versus how the child explains the frog to you. And it's basically as stark as life and death. And a lot of times we do that with Jesus. And another example is, let's say I just got married, just got back from my honeymoon, and I run into an old high school buddy from high school at the store, and he's like, "Hey, I heard you got married. Like, tell me about your wife." And I'll be like, "Well, she's 5'7". She's got two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. She's got some bones in her body, and I think she has a heart." Like, I'd be an idiot if that's how I describe my bride to him. I'd be like, "No, like, you have to meet her. Like, she is amazing. If I haven't seen her in a little while, and the first time she comes through the door, I get a little weak in the knees." If she whispers something into my ear, man, like, I just get all soft and gooey inside. And the way that she looks at me when she smiles, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm on top of the world. And her heart, like, she loves to serve God, and she is such an amazing helpmate. And there's a huge difference on how you describe her. And for some reason, we as Christians today, we compartmentalize everything about Jesus. We say, "Well, Jesus is fully man, but he's fully God, and he loves you, and you need him because he wants to save you." You know, and that's where we break it down, but there's no love in that. If someone asks you about Jesus, or if you share Jesus with somebody, man, you have to be passionate, and you have to show them the love that Jesus has for you. And it's so hard, because when I start talking about Jesus, I start getting emotional, because it blows my mind at how loving God he is. And it just trips me out that he still chooses me even when I rebel against him. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. Like, and the question that I pose for a lot of guys is that if you talk about Jesus and you don't start getting emotional and you don't start showing the love and sharing that love, then, man, it makes me question a little bit about your faith. And that's one of the things I think is plaguing Christians today, is where is the love? Because if Christ died for you and gave it all for you, and he sacrificed and showed you what love is, then you would be willing, and there's nobody that could stop you from sharing that with other people. But yet today, I just don't see that as much. And it saddens my heart, to be honest with you.
You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And I join with you in what you're saying right now, Chaz, is that, you know, you can get into the scientific part of everything. It's like this show. I tell people when they get on the show, I don't want to know what's in your head. I want to know what's in your heart. Because the way you penetrate and the way you make change is from, it's a heart matter. It's not a head matter. So we need to get to the heart. And sometimes the Lord lets things happen. He doesn't make things happen, but he lets things happen. Why? Because he wants your heart.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so when we get to those low places, we get to those vulnerable places, those transparent places, we get to those places where we know that we're not all that. Sometimes we just have to get down to where we know we're not all that.
Yeah.
And we have to depend on the Lord, and we have to depend on those around us that love us, that aren't judging but loving, to bring us up. And first is the Lord. We have to put him first in our lives.
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is so, so true and close to my heart. And I loved the fact right then. I got teary-eyed just listening to you, because that's what it's about. It's the heart. Mm-hmm. It's getting to the heart. And we all, as Christians, need to get in touch with our own heart. We need to look in the mirror, look at our part, look at where we are in our walk and our life, and also be, you know, in Psalms 139, it says, "Search me and know me. If there's any evil way, pluck it out." And we need to ask him to do that, don't we?
Absolutely.
So if we get that out, then we are better to serve him. But here's the other thing. This is the caveat of that. I talk to people a lot, and I'm talking to them about the Lord and the love of the Lord. And they'll say, "Well, no, because, I still want to drink my beer, or I still want to, you know, I still cuss, or I still do this, or I still do that." And what they don't realize, they don't have to clean their act up to receive the Lord's love, because he already loves you right where you are.
Yeah.
Now, he might cause a change in you, but it's not something that you're going to even care about when he gets a hold of your heart.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's something that he does through you. It's not something that you have to do. So those listening that are on the fence or not sure, but you're hurting, or you know that you need more, because God put a special place in your heart for only him, mm-hmm. where only he can fill it. And so you need to know that, so that you can allow that to happen. And you don't have to wait. You don't have to clean up your act.
Absolutely.
Am I right, Chaz?
Right. God will take you right where he's at. And I forget
right
the name
here,
of
right
that.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. I forget the name of the song, but there's some lyrics where it says there's a God-shaped hole in all of us.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And
only he
can
fill
it.
That's
amen.
Right. That's
amen.
Right. Amen. So what advice would you give our listeners that feel that their lives are boring or that they could be doing more?
All right, so if you guys are Christ followers and you feel like your life is boring, then that is an easy, there's an easy solution for that in my book. And it's the old Sunday school answer, where everything, the answer is Jesus. And so if your life is boring, talk to somebody about Jesus. Be intentional. Then let the fireworks happen. Because you can be talking to your neighbor, you can be chilling at Starbucks, you know, you can be at work, you can be waiting at in the line to go to the restroom at the dance club that you're at. And if you bring up Jesus, I guarantee you, your life will become more exciting. It's simple, but it's so true for what's going on. You look at Jesus when he first started his ministry, when he started grabbing his disciples out of the book of Matthew in chapter 4. What did Jesus do? What's one of the first things that he did? He started to preach, and he said, people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then later on in chapter 4, he says he went throughout Galilee teaching at the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. That's Matthew 4:23. And when you look at that, he was proactive. He didn't necessarily spend all his time doing theology, you know, or going to Bible college. You know, not that those things are bad. They're actually good things. But he actually was out there rubbing elbows with people, getting dirty, proclaiming the gospel, and he was serving and healing and performing miracles. So if you think that your life is boring, then, man, share Jesus with something. Because you look at all the apostles and the disciples, man, their lives weren't boring. When you actually read through their story, you're like, man, I almost feel sorry for them because they're getting beat up, they're being thrown in prison, they're getting martyred. But, man, their lives were never boring. So if any of you guys are out there listening and you're like, man, my life is boring, if you know Jesus, man, that should not be the case. Start sharing him with somebody else that doesn't know Jesus, and I guarantee things will start to get exciting.
Two things happen with that from personal experiences is that you have purpose in your life.
Absolutely.
You have a purpose. It becomes your purpose and your passion. And we all have our gifts that we work to make that happen. But also what it does is it opens up the teaching part of you to where you need to learn. The teacher needs to learn the lesson before the teacher can teach it. And so it causes you to get more in the Word because questions are asked. And we don't have to fear questions. You know, in the Bible it talks about come to me as children. What do children do all the time?
Yeah.
Why?
Absolutely.
So it says come to me like children. Why? Because children are so curious, but they're also so innocent and willing to accept, and it's a wonderful place to be. We get so hurt in our lives. All of us are little children that have grown up bodies, and we've been hurt. All children have been hurt some way or another, and we need to get to where the healing can happen. And how does that happen? I had someone tell me it's like a splinter. You know, you have to get the splinter out. Well, that's painful sometimes. And there might be some blood and there might be a little bit of a cut there, but then the healing begins. But until you get that out, the root, until you get that root of bitterness or that root out, you can't get complete healing. But you don't have to be completely healed to share the good news. And that's the good news right there is we can learn together. We can share together. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Amen. So, did you talk about Acts 10:36-43? Did you mention that?
Yeah, I would love to read that.
Could you?
Yeah, totally. So, for those of you guys that may like a little bit more direction with, yeah, Chaz, do I hear what you're talking about on how, you know, life is boring and if we need to get more exciting, then we need to share the gospel and talk about Jesus to people, but you know, maybe I've never learned that. Well, open your Bibles to Acts, okay? It's in the New Testament, near the beginning, to chapter 10, starting in verse 36, going to verse 43. And you can just straight up read this to someone, or you can have a Bible. I highly encourage you to keep a Bible on you at all times. And that way, when you start talking to people about Jesus, you can actually point to a piece of scripture and then have them read it out loud to you. So that way you know that they're listening. And so I'm just going to read Acts chapter 10, verses 36 through 43 right now. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened through all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And that's just a few verses right there, but that's the gospel message. This is like a condensed gospel message in Scripture. So if you have your Bibles with you right now, make sure you underline it, you put a little dog ear, you just mark this page, because this is such a beautiful, condensed gospel message here in Acts 10, verses 36 through 43.
That's very good. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, you said something at the very beginning that I don't know if everybody caught, but you said to have people read it out loud. And I learned a long time ago that our bodies and our brain, they receive our own voice better than hearing it from someone else. So that's why prayer out loud is really important, is so that our bodies can hear our voice and our words. And it creates a healing throughout our bodies, just hearing it. I have a girlfriend who's had a lot of illness. And what she did is, I can't remember the number of scriptures on healing, but she would read those scriptures of healing, believing in healing every day. And there's quite a few. I can't remember, 43, 50, I don't remember the number. But she would read every single one of those scriptures every day. And the doctors thought that she wouldn't even be walking. And she's walking, talking, and she's just on fire for the Lord. And the reason is because she spoke those words, the scriptures of healing, every day. Every day her body heard those words spoken. And so there's real power in that, and it's God's power. So it's an amazing story. So we have a little bit of time left. So with that, I would say, what are some other things that have been brought to your attention from talking right now that you feel the Holy Spirit might be leading you to talk to the listeners? The difficult thing, like I told you, Chaz, is when you're used to ministry, when you're seeing people face to face, it's a little different when you're on the radio, because you don't know who your audience is. God does, but we don't, because we can't see the faces. We can't see the body language. We can't see any of that. So, you know, it's totally led by the Holy Spirit. And so right now, what would you say? You know, I'm sure you're feeling things.
Yeah, totally. I would say that if there are any of you guys that struggle with external circumstances about where you're at within God's will, I want to bring up that a passage about how when Jesus and his disciples were chilling on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was like, you know what, you guys get in this boat, and then I want you guys to go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side, and I'll meet you over there later. And so the disciples, they got on the boat, and then halfway across the Sea of Galilee, there's a huge storm that's brewing, and it's taking them forever, and they're not really getting anywhere, and the waves are crashing, and things start to get really scary. The part that I want to get into real quick is, for those of you guys that feel like you're totally in God's will, and there's certain decisions in your life that you've been praying about, you've been getting wise counsel on, you've been feel like the Spirit is leading you in this way, and then all of a sudden there's just a whole bunch of nonsense that just starts hitting you, and there's these storms that start hitting you, and you start to doubt, man, is this truly where God wants me? And, you know, before you start to make other decisions, initially, if you know, hey, God wants you to go here, and he wants to do work over here, then you stay strong with that. Because the disciples, what did they do? Even though they ended up in that storm, how did they get there? Jesus told them, hey, get in the boat and cross the sea. So they were right smack dab in the middle of God's will, right where Jesus wanted him, and the storm still hit them. So take heart, because in Romans chapter 5, it says that the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is a hope that does not disappoint. And so I'd love to just encourage you guys with stay strong with whatever ministry God has called you to do, and no matter what storms crash down on your life, don't take that as, oh, maybe this isn't where God wants me. That could be exactly where God wants you. And so you need to just continually be encouraged and take faith that, hey, God wants me here, and so I'm going to stay here. I'm going to learn what God wants me to learn while I'm in this situation and grow from the situation of what's going on. So, yeah, that was kind of what just popped in my head right now. So
that's really good. That's really good. So can people get to know you a little bit? I mean, what is one of the biggest struggles that you've had? I'm putting you on the spot. I love doing that.
Yeah, but, totally.
I really do, because we all go through struggles, and God sees us through.
I would say, like, I don't know if we have enough time, Sue. There's a lot of things I struggle with.
Oh, really?
But pride is one of those things I struggle with. Being overly committed, I think one of the tactics the devil uses in my life in the past is that he gets me busy doing a whole bunch of little good things for the gospel and for his kingdom, which distracts me from doing
the
bigger great things. Exactly.
Right.
And so that's honestly probably what I struggle with the most, especially working at a church now. There's so many people who need help and counsel, and you just want to be there for them all, but it's tough because you can't. So you have to delegate more. You have to be able to know when to take a Sabbath, because if you don't take a Sabbath, I guarantee God will make you take a Sabbath.
That's true. That's true. You know, everybody needs rest.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Everybody needs to be fed, and sometimes pastors, they just get worn out because everybody has such a strong need, and, mm-hmm. you know, pastors need to, you know, take that time, you know. Do you ever feel isolated at all, or do you guard against that?
In the past I have, but now I have some amazing brothers in Christ that keep me accountable like I've never had before, and that's huge, because oftentimes pastors get put up on a pedestal, and the congregation and the flock kind of thinks that, oh, they're the pastor. They got everything that's good. They do everything that's right, and they don't struggle with this stuff. And, you know, and so they just bring their needs. And it's so amazing how I can tell the heart of some of the guys that I disciple when it's more about, hey, like, you know, I know you're busy, you know, but how can I help you in your ministry of what's going on right now? How are you doing right now? Versus the people in your life that are just like, hey, like, you need to spend time for me, and you're not doing this, you know, you should be doing this, and blah, blah, blah. And so it's hard, because when you experience that, and I guarantee anybody in leadership, you'll experience both sides. You're going to have to discern, hey, how much time am I going to need to just have God just pour into me and help revive my soul for what's going on here. And isolation can sometimes be a good thing, because even Jesus did that, but he didn't stay there that long when
right.
he did go away.
Right.
So, but to me, I'm like, this life is short, and I'm huge about developing gospel communities where there are people that have purpose in what they're doing and when they meet. And it's not just fellowship. There's actually purpose in showing God's love in that to the Christians and non-Christians that are around. But yeah, sometimes like you do get isolated, and the biggest thing that I'm learning right now is since one of my spiritual gifts is the gift of leadership, it's hard because I need to lead first, and I've been struggling with finding enough time to make my sermons really awesome and killer,
right.
so that no matter when anybody listens to it on the podcast, they're like, oh, wow, that was hot, you know, that was really good. And, you know, that's not my main priority. You know, it's if my main gift is to lead, then I need to lead. And then I just need to trust in the work that I have done that God will use that in there.
Well, it's been great, Chaz, having you on, and I appreciate your insight and input. Join us next week for our guest, Eric Keener, to hear about the powerful testimony of how God brought this man from darkness into light. I thank all of you for listening. And Chaz, I just encourage you, and I just thank you so much for your willingness to come on the show and share everything you've shared. I think it's been very helpful. I know that we've helped people today, and that's very rewarding. People ask me, are you having fun yet? And I'm like, well, you know, not everything in life is fun. But if you feel good and you feel like you're making a difference, that's rewarding. And I think the reward is going to be in heaven. But
Amen.
Even now, I think the reward is that, you know, you want to make your life count and have a purpose. You want to be purposeful in your walk. And I think that's your message, is mm-hmm. that, you know, you walk with purpose. So thank you so much, Chaz. We got 1 second. So anything else you want to say?
Yeah,
real quick.
Be purposeful no matter what you do. If you know how to teach martial arts, if you know how to quilt blankets, like, do that to God's glory. Eric Keener, that's going to be on next week, he's one of my best friends. He's my boy, and you guys definitely want to tune into that.
Yes, you do. Tune into the SueFreeze.com website and check out some new events that are happening June 24th through 26th in Santa Monica. There's going to be a New World Festival of Eco-Friendly Science and Technology. I was told I needed to tell everybody that, so I did that. And until next week, God bless you all. You are forgiven, and thank you so much for joining in. And until next week, God bless.
Child, you're forgiven in love. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven in love.
The Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.